We just say thank you. Lord, we thank you one more time for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you have already started here. We thank you because we know your presence is in our midst, oh God. And that even as we speak your word this morning, we ask for understanding that the word that we hear will profit us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. What I'm going to do this morning, I should just mention, normally it's a tradition every month to have a theme of the month. But the month of August over the last 2-3 years is the only month in this church that we deliberately do not have a theme, which means that you can claim any prophetic word that you want for your life this month. Amen. We deliberately do not have a theme because we call it a free flow month, which basically we share messages that don't necessarily follow a particular pattern or theme. And it's deliberate. Over the past 2-3 years, we've done it like that. And what I'm going to do this morning, in reality, is a bit, well, not so much unusual, but I'm going to continue in quotes along the lines of what we shared last week, in the sense that I will be, last month we spoke about unusual success. And we had a guest minister come and minister last week, and he spoke about the price for unusual success. And as I reflected on last month's messages and the last week's messages as well, I felt led to continue where the guest minister stopped last week. And what I want to do this morning is I'll just be sharing what I've titled Paying the Price for Unusual Success. I'll be sharing a bit more, going a bit further than it did last week. Hallelujah. So if you would, can you turn your Bibles with me to the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 57. Luke chapter 1, verse 57. We'll just take a couple of verses there. And then, in the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 57, the Bible states that now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered. And she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. Verse 66. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. They said, "What kind of child would this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Our second scripture reading is taken from the book of Daniel chapter 6. I'll be reading from verse 1. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible states there in the book of Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these 3 governors of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Verse 3. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Then verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Like I said, I just want to continue along the lines where the guest minister stopped last week, and I'll try to, because of time, make it just straight to the point this morning. As we read the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, for me, is one that encourages me whenever I read it. Why do I find it encouraging? I find it encouraging because it reminds me always that with God, as the Bible states, nothing will be impossible. It reminds me, as I read it, that God is able to do all things. You know, it's interesting because before I came up, I actually picked a primary scripture because I tend to do that before the end of the service. And interestingly enough, God ordained it for me to pick Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Now, when I picked it and I saw it, I thought to myself, God is saying something to someone this morning. That's the reason why I have in my notes, and God permitted me to pick it, that with God, nothing will be impossible. Amen. Now I find the story for me is more intriguing when we consider the purpose God had for John the Baptist. In the sense that it took so long, but God had already ordained and planned something. Like we heard last week, that was what you would call unusual success. Because it's not something they could have planned themselves, but God planned it in such a way that not only did they have what they had been believing God for, but that child, the purpose of God was well defined and was instrumental to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I find it more intriguing. And reading the scriptures, we'll notice that John was no ordinary child. Reading the scriptures, we'll notice that there was a general perception, like we read in verse 66, that when people heard, they said that what kind of child will this be? Which means that right from his childbirth, there was something different about him. There was something unusual about him. And what you find is that God ensured that Zechariah and Elizabeth were the carriers of this success that was birth. God ensured that they were the one that brought forth someone unusual that would be very successful. Now, one of the things that we need to realize, because, as I thought about it, Elizabeth and Zechariah, so God gave them success, unusual success. And we can read it and just ascribe everything to God. And everything, God can do all things, but God expects us to do some things. Are you with me? We can read the scriptures and say, yes, the Bible states nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible. But we need to understand that there were certain things that Elizabeth and Zechariah did. There was something about them that probably accounted for God selecting them out of all the couples that were in that nation at that point in time. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to use their life and look at Daniel as well and use that to talk about paying the price for success. Because there's a price for success. Sometimes we see some people that are successful and some people say they are lucky. Some people say they are fortunate. Sometimes they say, they just stumbled on it. A lot of the people that are successful, usually they would have paid the price somewhere along the lines. Some people pay the price positively, some pay the price negatively. When I say negatively, so some people go to the kingdom of darkness to get power or to get certain things, but there's still a price to pay. But our focus is the positive price, obviously. And so that's what we want to look at this morning. That's what we want to talk about. And the first thing that I want to talk about, about them is that you discover in their life, or if you want, let me put it this way, let me make it personal to you. If you want to be successful in life, you must be consistent. Someone that is unstable like water cannot be successful. If you want to be successful in life, you must be consistent in doing the things that God has called you to do, whether it seems to be working or not. Are you getting me? The Bible states in Luke chapter 1, it talks about Zechariah in verse 8. It states that, so it was that while he was serving as priests, before God, in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Notice that it says, while he was serving as priest, at that point in time, Zechariah, the Bible makes us to understand that he was old and well advanced in age. But this makes me to understand that he had been serving as a priest for years.
He had remained serving in the house of God, serving as a priest, doing his calling, doing the things God had called him to do. Whether he was working or not, he remained consistent in that place. Are you listening to me this morning? And you see, consistency, there's a blessing in consistency. There's a blessing when you continue. Listen to me, get this. When you are consistent in doing the things God has told you to do, what you're doing is you are sowing a seed. When you don't sow a seed, there's nothing for God to bless. Are you listening to me this morning? He continued serving in his area of calling. He continued serving in his area of gifting, I beg your pardon. He did not deviate from what God had called him to do. And this is very important because you may not know how long, the Bible doesn't tell us how long they had been doing the same thing for years. And you may not know how long it would take you to get that unusual success or whatever it may be. But if God has told you, I want you to do this, whether you seem to be seeing the result like you expect at this point in time, you need to continue in it. Until God tells you otherwise. You see, sometimes we see certain people, they just seem to show up as being successful. But a lot of times, what we don't understand is they've been doing it for years. Get this. One thing I've discovered is that the price you pay is normally in secret. But people see the results outside. Sometimes a message that I preach for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 1 hour, you will not know the amount of times or hours it takes to prepare it. And some you need to understand that there's no overnight success. But many people want microwave success. So they want to put the effort in the microwave and get their success tomorrow. But people that have longevity in life, successful, and have been at it for years, and they continue being successful, you will discover that they have been doing it for years. Same thing, same thing, same thing. Let me give you an example. The pastor of the largest church in the United Kingdom at this point in time, a certain gentleman, he celebrated 40 years in ministry earlier this year. Now, this gentleman is 62 years old, which means that he's been in ministry since 22 or thereabouts. It's only about 20 years ago that we actually started hearing of him, or 20, 25 years ago, thereabouts. In fact, about 20 years, I think. That we really started hearing that he's, but he's been doing it. I remember I heard him saying one time that when he was coming to this country from his country of origin, and they said that churches don't grow past 30, and he believed that. And he remained, the church was pastoring, they remained 30 for quite a number of years. I don't remember how many years. But he just stayed at it, continued doing. Now, a lot of people see him and say, oh, largest church in the United Kingdom. But not many people will realize and understand and know. I remember listening to him one time. I think he said that maybe a whole year or 2 years he fasted. Throughout. Consistency in the things that God has called you to do. When I think of our general overseer, Pastor Oyeyi Adeboye, the message that he has been preaching since I became a Christian and joined the Redeemed Christian Church of God is the same message he's still preaching. That's what God has told him to do. And you won't see him jumping around. T.D. Jakes, I generally will say, let somebody shout hallelujah. He's remained consistent. Thank you. Consistently consistent. I could give you many other examples. But if you want success, there's a price. There's a price of consistency that you need to pay. And that price of consistency does not mean that if you do it in 1 year, you will get the success. Many people expect that, oh, if I do this thing in 1 year, then I will see the result. Not necessarily. I'm sure you've heard of the gentleman, Thomas Edison, that invented the light bulb. Now, it's been told that he tried over 1,000 times before he got the right substance or right materials that worked. But he remained at it. He remained at it until a lot of people would have given up at the 10th time. Over 1,000 times before he discovered. If you look at the time will not permit me. If you look at the story of Daniel, in your spare time, go and read the book of Daniel. Read the whole book. It's a brilliant book. You can learn a lot from it. But you discover in the life of Daniel, you discover that Daniel was consistent in the kingdom, in Babylon, when he was serving there. He served four different kings. Four different kings. Served Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Cyrus, Darius. Four different, which means that his time at the top was over a period of time and consistently there serving well. You want success in life? Be consistent in doing what God has called you to do. Be consistent in using the gifting that God has given you. Are you with me this morning? So they were consistently consistent. And then you'll also notice that they were righteous and blameless before God. The Bible actually uses that they were righteous and blameless before God. Although things did not seem to be working for them at that point in time like they expected. But listen to me, they did not look for ways that would cause them to sin before God. They did not compromise. The Bible states that they were righteous and blameless. Now, that's very key. Because it is not easy to see people you started with seem to be making progress. And then you seem to be remaining at the same spot. And sometimes those people are not Christians. And it seems as if, how come these people are getting away with compromise and doing the things that are not right? But a lot of people, a lot of Christians, don't allow themselves to be influenced. But you need to understand something. That if you're going to have the success, then ensure that it is one that you can give him the glory. Instead that they were righteous, they were blameless. You know the truth? Many people will make suggestions on how to be successful. Some suggestions will be man's idea, good ideas, not necessarily God's idea. Some suggestions will not even be good ideas, but that they will not catch you. You know the true test of one's Christianity at times of faith? When you know that you can do something and nobody will know. Something that is not right and nobody will know. And you'll get a result. You know the type that in the country that I come from, they'll say they will eat puff puff and wipe their mouth. Sorry, what's puff puff? African donut. African donut. They will eat it and wipe their mouth and then come out and I'm all holy. And there are many people that do that. I thank God for the life of the lady that gave the testimony. Initially, she compromised, but she realized that, hey, compromising does not work. And then she surrendered and said, Lord, whatever, I just want to do your will.
I want to do the right thing. And it's very key, because if you're going to have success, the God kind of success, then you must be ready to be righteous and blameless before God. You'll discover that concerning Daniel, you know, in Daniel chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible states that the other governors, the other satraps, they were trying to find a charge against him. He says, we know they will not find a charge against him except one concerning his God. That is the kind of thing I want them to be able to say concerning my life. If at all, it will be something concerning my God, my faith, not something that I did wrong. Are you with me? Don't be fooled. God rewards those that are righteous and blameless in his own way. It might not be the way of the world, but he rewards those that stay true. Are you with me this morning? Let's move on quickly. Another thing you notice with in their life is that they were relentless in their prayers. I use the word relentless. Although the Bible does not fully state that. But one thing I noticed in verse 13 of that scripture, of that chapter 1, is that the Bible states there that, but the angel said to, okay, verse 12, and when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. He said, your prayer is heard. Your prayer is heard. I want to believe that they had been praying for some time and they continued praying. Your prayer will be heard in Jesus' name. I said, the Lord will hear your prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. When you pray, Bible says, believe that you receive. Do you know that when the Bible says, believe that you receive, the receiving, the manifestation may not be immediate. Let me explain. When Daniel prayed, when he was fasting, the Bible makes us to understand that he set his heart to fast for 21 days. He started fasting. From the first day that he started fasting, do you know that his prayer, the answer to his prayers had been released to him? So in heaven, the answer had been sent. And the Bible makes us to understand that he remained in the place of prayer. So he was relentless. Get this. This should make us understand certain things. God answers prayers. And you discover that there are times that there are certain spiritual realms that we need to break through to receive the answer that has been released. Did you get that? But sometimes when people are not relentless, when they are not persistent with their praying, what happens is the answer that has been released, the answer, the solution, whatever it is that God, you know, let me put it this way. We were praying yesterday. Normally, I pray with the ministers, you know. We pray 12 to 1, usually midnight every week, most weeks. And I was about to say something we prayed about. So there. Okay. Lord help me. Anyway, when you pray, God answers your prayers. Amen. Oh dear. There was a point I was about to make. Anyway, we'll move on. You'll discover that the Bible makes us to understand Daniel was he continued praying. He prayed all the time. In fact, it makes us to understand that 3 times a day, he set his heart to pray. Why am I saying this? a lot of people give up. Now, the truth of the matter is that we don't exactly use our mouth to say we've given up. But in our hearts, we've given up. Or in our hearts, we just think whatever. But do you know what? Yeah, this is the point I was going to make. When we were praying yesterday, one of the prayers we prayed is that for everyone that comes here, you know, the Bible says that that if we pray and believe, we'll receive. And one of the prayers we prayed for you guys yesterday is that as we pray here today, or when people, you know, when you come, that whatever prayers have been in your heart, that God will give you the answer. But let me make you understand one thing. God answers prayers, but the answer may be a no. But challenge is sometimes when people hear a no, they don't hear it. Did you get that? Because they are waiting for God to say yes. When you've heard no, you better move on and don't continue. I've veered off, but this is for someone. Don't be like a Balaam. Balaam, God said, don't go. He said, don't go. He said, and then they came back and said, come with us. Come and he then went back to God again. When God says no, you know, there are times that when your child pesters you, just for the sake of Jesus, just leave me alone, okay. But that thing may not be the best thing for that person. Did you get that? I veered up my message. But I was talking about being relentless in prayers. They continued praying. They were relentless in prayers. Lastly, I'm talking about paying the price for success. The last thing is you need to sharpen your axe. What do I mean by that? In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible states that if the axe is dull, you need more strength. But then it states that wisdom, let me read it. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Which means that wisdom is to sharpen your axe. Which means that in order to have wisdom, you need to sharpen your axe. It means that one of the prices that you need to pay for success is continually sharpening your axe. Let me explain. You know, I remember when I was growing up, there used to be some, you know, in the country where I come from, you have some people that go around, they carry some kind of machine to help you sharpen a cutlass or knife or what have you. And when they start the machine and they put it beside it, the people that grew up in this country, you know what a cutlass is. Like a knife. And when they start the thing and they put it beside it, they use a bit of energy to get it started. But by the time they finish with that knife, it can pierce through. You know, if you do it like this, it can. But what did they do? They sharpened the axe so that you wouldn't, the blunt edges. Now, what does that mean to you? Three things. The first thing it means to you, first of all, is you need to sharpen your axe in the area of your spiritual axe. Let me use that word. I was speaking to the workers earlier today, and I was talking about the need to take time. Well, I asked them a question. I said, how many people have gone on a retreat? When you take the time, even Jesus, do you know that Jesus used to go away on his own? In fact, there was a time he told his disciples, he said, go away, rest a while.
What does that mean? That means that they are going away to sharpen, to refresh themselves. You see, when you go away on your own, when you go away into solitude for 1 or 2 days, what you're doing is you are sharpening your spiritual senses. And you see, when you don't sharpen your spiritual senses, you may still be walking on the words that you received 5 years ago. And the ark of God, the cloud may have moved. Let me explain. In the wilderness, it was very key for the Egyptians to watch out for the cloud and the fire. The Bible states that any time they got to a place, if the cloud rested on the tent, they will set up tent there. Or rested in a place, they'll set up tent there. And then if they won't know how long the cloud will stay there. But if they wake up in the morning and the cloud had moved, what would they do? They pack up and go. Now, for people that don't sharpen their axe spiritually, what happens is the cloud may have moved, but your tent is still in a place. And you are expecting success to happen where you are, whereas God has carried the ark forward. Oh, let me explain. In the Bible, the Bible talks about a certain gentleman called Elijah. At a particular point in time, God said, go to the brook of Cherith. And he said that, I have commanded the ravens to feed you. Now, God is the one that told him, go to the brook of Cherith. At that point in time, God commanded the ravens to bring meat and, bread. They were feeding him. No problem. But then, the Bible states that the brook dried up. God was the one that gave him those instructions. The same place where he was being fed, the Bible says the brook dried up. If his axe, spiritual axe, was not sharp, he would have remained there and be saying, God, why? What's happening, Lord? But then his spiritual axe was sharp. He was sharp spiritually. The Bible states that God then told him that he should go to the widow. Are you guys getting me? And that's why it's important. You need to sharpen your axe. Spiritual axe. Because if your spiritual axe is not sharp, then you'll be walking, you'll be living based on the word of yesteryears, which will not be the word for your life for today. So sharpening your axe, that's the first thing. How do you say, time will not permit me to tell you how to sharpen your axe spiritually. Second thing that you need to sharpen, area that you need to sharpen your axe. You need to sharpen the axe of your mind. Let me put it this way. You need to sharpen your mind. It is only those that their mind is sharpened in this age that will be successful. What do I mean by that? The time of the industrial age has passed. We are now in the age of information and technology. Now, if you don't, I've discovered the latest technology of 2 years ago, in fact, 2 years, 1 year ago, 6 months now, has become obsolete. Now, in your area of expertise, in the area of your calling, in the area of your career, whatever area you are in, whatever industry you are in, you must constantly sharpen your axe in that area. Because if you don't keep abreast of the things happening in your industry, you'll find yourself obsolete. You'll just become like in the, was it 70s? 60s, 70s. You know, there was a time that Ford, every car had a forge. It was a badge of Ford. Ford was the foremost car manufacturer in the world. But what they used to produce were large cars. And it got to a season that there was a demand. The demography of the world, the people, were demanding something different. But when they went to Ford then, Henry Ford, and they brought a design to him, he refused to go along with it. He said, oh, we are doing well. Why should we change it? What happened? They were overtaken. And then there was a time that Volvo too became obsolete. If I can give you many examples. In the area of wristwatches,
Are you listening to me? If you don't sharpen your axe, then you will discover that the success of today cannot give you success tomorrow. Today's knowledge is good for success today. But if you want success, continuous success, then you need to learn new things. If I let me put it this way, yesterday's knowledge is good for today's success. But you need to learn today's knowledge for tomorrow's success. Are you learning something? So you need to sharpen your mind. You need to sharpen your mind. For each person, what you need to do is different. Because it depends on the industry you are in. It depends on what God has called you to do. For people in ministry, there's a difference. For example, if I don't constantly update myself, I cannot talk to you folks. I'll just be here and be talking about something that... But I can relate to you. I hope I'm relating to you. You need to constantly. And then lastly, still talking about sharpening your axe, you need to sharpen your tools. You need to sharpen your tools. What are your tools? Depends on your industry. I'm going to use myself as an example. Every industry, every trade has the tools of the trade. A carpenter has his own tools of the trade. A bricklayer has his tools of the trade. A politician has his tools of the trade. An accountant has his tools of the trade. And what you need to do is your tools need to be sharpened. Let me explain. So as an example, every Sunday by his grace, I need to come and share the word of God for you, with you guys. Now, what are the tools of my trade? One of the key things that is a tool, the tool of my trade is communication. I must be able to communicate with you. Now, so I need to sharpen my communication skills from time to time. I need to be able to say things or find things that are relevant to you. One of the tools of the trade is the microphone and the various things that we use. And we need to ensure that we are updating it regularly, because if it's not working properly, then success. You can imagine if you're here this morning and the speakers are making noise and the microphone doesn't sound nice. If no matter how good the message is, some people will find it irritating. And it will put them off. They might not come next week. So those are some of the tools of the trade. Tools of my trade. The scriptures. Those are the tools. Those are the tools that I need for what God has called me to do. So I'm sharpening the tools of my trade all the time. I listen to other people so that I can sharpen myself. I don't just listen to messages. I listen to business messages, if that's the word, so that I can sharpen the tools of my trade. I listen to things that will help my personal development as well as a person. But what am I doing? I'm sharpening the tools of my trade. Now, if you don't sharpen your axe and you think that you are at the top of your game today, you'll be surprised that there's somebody behind you. I remember there was a time that they interviewed, I think it was Bill Gates, Microsoft. I think it was Bill Gates. He said something. He said he's not really scared of the oracles of this world. But the people that he's scared of are the upcoming young technology savvy people that are on the cutting edge of technology. In fact, you'll discover that one of the strategies that Microsoft uses is they look for up-and-coming organizations and buy them. That's a strategy they've used that has allowed them to remain at the top of their game.
Why does he buy them? Because he does not, he sees the threat.
Are you with me this morning? Why am I talking? Paying the price. And when I talk about sharpening those tools, you know, I mentioned that it happens in secret. And there's a price for it. So all those things I'm talking about, they will cost you time. They will cost you money. They will cost you, you will have to sacrifice a lot of things. But those are the prices that we need to pay for success. Let's rise up and pray. Hallelujah.